That's amazing. Karen, welcome. Wow, cool. Wow, thank you for that, and for Allison, and for both songs. That is our scripture for this morning. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, there you go.
No, not so fast. In this particular passage in Ecclesiastes, beyond what our scripture is for today, there's this one verse, and it says, "Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account." So what they have just sung, "Turn, turn, turn," which is not actually in the scripture, means that there's nothing really new under the sun to God, because he's seen it all and he's had it planned out since before we were ever thought of. If you think about the word time, we're not really sure what that construct is. You know, Einstein said the reason time exists is so everything doesn't happen at once. And if it did, could we bear it? If it all happened just at one time and was enveloped into our hearts, could we bear it? Well, that's God. He experiences it all at the same time and all forever. All of our emotions. And that's our Savior, that's Jesus Christ. So I'd like to blend this, if I may. Eugene Peterson has taken the words of the scripture. Pete Seeger used, in that particular song, he used the King James Version. But when Peterson wrote it, he wanted to make it very particular and very familiar, using our language to us, targeted right at us, God speaking to us. And so in the message, he writes, instead of a season, he says a right time. That implies that we get to choose a right time. God's given us that power, that discretion. We have a choice of when we make these things happen. They're all known to God. But we have a choice to exercise each one of these. And for each pairing, there is a better choice. But there is a time for all. So from the message, there's an opportune time to do things. A right time for everything on earth. A right time for birth and another for death. A right time to plant and another to reap. A right time to kill and another to heal. A right time to destroy and another to construct. A right time to cry and another to laugh. A right time to lament and another to cheer. A right time to make love and another to abstain. A right time to embrace and another to part. A right time to search and another to count your losses. A right time to hold on and another to let go. A right time to rip out and another to mend. A right time to shut up and a right time to speak up. A right time to love and another to hate. A right time to wage war and another to make peace. And the NIV, it concludes with this particular verse. What do workers gain from their toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He's made everything beautiful in its time. And he has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there's nothing better for people than to be happy and do good while they live. That each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Joe and Laura Cole had a granddaughter that would from time to time visit them in Rich Square, North Carolina. That's where I was pastor many years ago. They always looked forward to their granddaughter coming. But one day they told me that their granddaughter was disturbed on this particular visit. And I asked why. And they chuckled. They said, "Well, here's the story. You know, every time she comes to see us, she looks forward to this one place on the trip where they cross over this bridge. And she just loves this bridge. But since the last time she's visited us, the bridge has been torn down and there's a different bridge. And she was devastated, and she actually arrived at our house in tears. We didn't know what was wrong, but we asked her, and she said, "Granddaddy, Grandma, the old bridge is gone." And of course, they tried not to chuckle. They attended to her very kindly and very gently, and she's okay. You know, that was a minor change to us, major change for her, and probably one of many, many changes that young little girl has already faced in her life and will face. You know, Ecclesiastes says, there's a season for everything. Life is full of changes. As a matter of fact, the one thing that's constant is change. Ecclesiastes says, you know, there is a beginning to every season. There is an end to every season. And so it's like, well, it's constant. And this morning, you're either in one of three places. You're either coming out of a significant change in your life that you've gone through, or you're in the midst of a change right now. And it may be very hard for you. And now, the rest of you, hold on. That means that you'll soon be headed into a significant change. But we find ourselves in one of three places. We're either in the midst of a change, coming out of a change, or soon to be going into a change. Life is full of changes. And I've thought about this and about how we learn to deal with changes. And then I remembered how blessed I am to visit so many persons who have lived through changes in their life, namely the elderly. Now, over the years, I've met some very precious saints of God. And I've thought about the kinds of changes they lived through in their life. Global changes, national changes, and changes here in Cary, and changes in their own life, and lots of losses and lots of experiences. But the ones who were resilient, the ones who actually seemed to thrive and grow on change, were those who had the kind of attitude that was a, well, kind of a, what does God have to show me? You know, there's basically two kinds of ways to approach a change that you see coming up in your life. You can fear it and lock the door and resist it, however futile that may be. The other choice is simply to embrace it with a, what's God got next for me? Wow, what a wonderful choice we have. Polly and I were traveling one time. We stopped to eat at I think it was a McDonald's, to just get something to drink. And I picked up a newspaper, and there was a story about a man in that town who had just turned 100 years old and had published his first book. And the title of the book, and you had to remember, he just turned 100 years old. The title of his book was, What's Next? And I've thought about that. Yeah, there's basically two ways to approach the changes that we have in life. One, to fear it, lock the door and resist it. The other one is to have the attitude of, well, you know, what's next, God? What do you have to show me? The earliest creed of the Christian faith is three words. Jesus is Lord. And what that meant back in the early days of the Christian faith was that Jesus is the one who is in control of life. He's the Lord of life. He's sovereign over all of life. And the reason that that stood out, the reason that was so powerful, was that the early Christians refused to say that Caesar is Lord. They said Jesus is Lord. And so as they were going through the changes early in their time as God's people, the church, they reminded themselves that Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of life. And if He's Lord of life, then He's also Lord of all the changes in life. And what that meant to them was, because he's Lord, we look to him as the ultimate authority, the sovereign one, the one who's ultimately in control. And not only do we look to him, but he is the one we serve. Jesus is the one that we see as being sovereign, and Jesus is the one whom we seek to serve. And so why that's important to me is, when we go through change, we need to be reminded of, who is the Lord of change? Who is it that's sovereign over all the changes that we could ever go through in life? Is Jesus. And we look to him. And then we also say, you know, it's about serving him in all the changes we go through in life. Last week we had a wonderful message by Jim Furnish, and he shared with us the story of their church down in Tampa, Florida, when he was there for many, many years going through a building project. And the reason he told that story is because our church is getting ready to go through a building project, and we're going to face many, many changes, just like they faced during their building program. And one of the things he told us is that it change for a church is hard. And a building program is inconvenient. A person's Sunday school classes get displaced. People can't find their way around. People sometimes feel like something's overlooked or not mentioned. And, well, you know, it's like going through any project that your family may go through when you go through a building project. If you think one thing's going to happen, and lo and behold, something else happens. You have a start, and then you have a stop, and then you have another start, and you have many starts and stops, and it's a very trying time. And so he basically shared with us that as his church was going through the change, and they didn't know it at the time, but it would be 9 years before they finished their building project. But as they were going through that, he said that there were three things that kept them together and helped them to deal with the changes that they went through as a church during those 9 years. And not only just to get through them, but to grow and to thrive. And he said the first was, we had to remember who we are. We're God's people. Persons of significant worth and value. New creations in Christ. You know, we are the people that God has called to take a journey. We are the Abrahams and Sarahs. We are the people of God who join a long lineage of people who have been called and set apart. And we're special. We have been called by God, each of us, son and daughter of God. And the second one was, the question was, why are we here? And he said they always had to start a meeting with reminding the people, now, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? And it would always be because God is always at work doing new things, and we want to join him in doing new things. And the purpose of changing the buildings is so our buildings ultimately can help us to do our mission better. Our buildings provide merely a functional use. The missional use, mission of the church, the mission of the church is what's supreme. And we are here to join God in what he's doing and making all things new again. And then the third thing he said is, well, remember not only who you are, why you're here, but where you're going. In other words, sometimes you get weary when you don't see the end in sight. But they reminded themselves and again that there is a destiny that God has given us. We can rest assured that we are indeed taking a journey that will have a destiny to it. And the building program will come to a completion at one time or another. And so when people would ask, when are we going to be through? He would, and others at his church, would laugh and chuckle and say, well, it's a lot like answering the question, when's Jesus coming back? We know he's coming back. We just don't know when. And so I got to thinking about that. You know, wow, here was a church getting ready to go do a building project. They had no idea it would take them that long. They had all kinds of things going on. They discovered stops and starts and all kinds of stuff. They kept their sense of humor. There was one day people went to church and there were signs up, go this way, no, go this way, go this way. You know, because it was really It was really something. And one sign said, there's a church around here somewhere. Keep looking. And it was really neat. And that church is thriving today. Now, we're getting ready to head into something like that. I don't believe it's going to take 9 years. That's part of the reason we're having this sermon series. Everything changes. Things are getting ready to change at our church, beginning in January. And when changes happen within a church, we need to be honest that it does disrupt our life. And we need to be able to handle it. So I uplifted that to you so you can kind of keep that in the back of your mind. Now I want to talk about something that's very crucial. And that is each of us individually face change. Matter of fact, in the ministry, just about all my opportunities for ministering to people have to do with changes in their life for whatever reason. Some changes become because they initiated it. Some are out of their control. Some are easy. Some are very, very difficult. And I was with someone the other day, and it was like a difficult change, and it's just got to be made. But I thought about how that person already knows God's going to help them do it. I was visiting a member of our church who's recently been, he's become a new resident at a assisted living facility. He's left his home. He's in a new place. And he's adjusted. And he's doing well. And I visited him. And I asked how I could pray for him. And he said, well, it's about my wife who's in a rehab place. And when she gets through the rehab place, she's going to join me here. And we're going to be together. And that's a good thing. But the reason I want you to pray for her is because of this. My wife is blind. When she lived at home, she could find her way around. She literally could go into the kitchen and, if she wanted to, maybe fix something. She knew where the bathroom was. And he said, she's going to come here and be totally lost. And I'm going to have to help her, and others are going to have to help her start all over again to find her way. But he said, you know, she's going to be able to do that. And I said, you're right. Y'all are tough people. And I could begin to think about the times that they lived through. And so often when I'm ministering to people, it has to do with change. And you might be facing one in your life right now. And I want to offer to you a very good piece of wisdom that someone passed on to me. When you're facing a change, ask yourself three questions. Three questions. How is God calling me to change and grow? How is God calling me to grow to meet this change? That's a different way of looking at it. How is God calling me to change and to grow? The second one is, how is God calling me to serve Him? In the midst of this change, to serve Him. And the third one, of course, is how in the midst of all of this is God calling me to trust Him? So we ask these three questions. How is God calling me to grow? How is God calling me to serve Him in this situation? How is God calling me to trust Him in this situation? Now, the reason those three questions are so very important is because I'm speaking about myself. Please know that, as well as many of you. But so often, we want the situation to change. Change the situation, Lord. Well, what if the situation isn't going to change? A change in something needs to be done in our life. How does He want us to grow in order to meet the change? How does He want us to serve Him in the midst of the change? And how does He want us to trust Him in the midst of the change? Now let me tell you, God has a way of showing us how we can grow, how we can serve, and how we can trust Him, no matter what the change is we're going through. Now I want to tell you, one of the greatest changes in my life has turned out to be My greatest blessing, getting married. Okay? Now, I can only imagine what it must have been like for Polly. She's the one that had to leave her house, and we had to sell it, and she moved in with me. She moved in with me. Now, when she moved in, I thought, well, things are pretty good here. But then, one by one, things began to change. And at first I was going, I wonder how come we got a towel rack. Well, because towel racks are pretty good things, pretty good inventions. And, there was a lot of changes that happened. The place became beautiful, more useful and all that kind of stuff. I remember one time I was coming out of a meeting, and I don't know if she called me or I called her, but I was on my way home. She said, I just want to let you know, before you get here, I've made a few changes. And hung up. And so I thought, oh, gosh, just anticipating, what's going to happen when I open that door? And I opened that door. Everything had changed. The furniture was moved every which way around. And she says, what do you think? Well, I learned very quickly. Wow. That is something. And it was for my good. Now, there's been times when a change has been hard for me, but as I stuck with it and I've asked God, now, how can I grow here? How can I serve here? How can I trust here? I have been blessed and I've grown. And I just offer that to you. Sometimes life is very difficult. Change is hard. But God is never, 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 never beyond changing us and helping us to grow and become something that we could not become on our own. A person by the name of Martha Rubin, I believe that was her last name, who works at Christian Broadcasting Network, was in a chapel service one day reflecting on the changes that she and her husband were going through. And some of them were good, some of them were trying, but there were a lot. And then she felt as if God just dropped one little sort of like drop of grace that was enough for her to take for that day and every day in her life from now on. And what that drop of grace was an acronym for changes. C-H-A-N-G-E-S. C-H-A-N-G-S. Christ has a new gift every second. Do we believe that? Because you see, each and every second of our life, He offers us the gift of His peace, the gift of His presence, and the gift of His power. And there's not a moment that He's not offering us those gifts. And so as we face the difficult times, let us see changes in a new way. I close this service simply by offering prayer to you for whatever need that you have in your life. But I also offer you this, is that if you're going through difficult times, we have ministries here at our church, Stephen Ministries and other ministries, and we're all about change. We're all about helping one another to grow and to embrace and to receive the new gifts. Let us stand.